Thanks for joining us for another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. I hope 2026 is treating you well so far. We're ready to run down the top news from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. On today's show,
I'm CJ Miller. The Fort Wayne Farm Show is rapidly approaching, and we look forward to seeing you there. I'll tell you how you can support one of Indiana's premier youth organizations when you show up.
I'm Greg Allen. This weekend is your final chance to submit comments on the EPA's WOTUS rule, and I'll tell you about a new rule that targets better access to crop insurance.
I'm Andy Eubank. Later on in this segment, I'll have a wrap-up of the Friday markets and commentary from analyst Brian Basting. Also, a little later, I'll have details on Preceon short corn and what might interest you about that product.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm radio network. We'll also hear about a foreign drone ban that's been instituted here in the U.S. in just a few minutes. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana farm forecast is on the way. It remains cold this weekend, but he does have some milder air moving through this next week. Let's begin with more details on the $12 billion farmer aid package announced last month by President Trump and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. Here's Rollins back on December 8th making that announcement.
By the end of this month, so just in the next couple of weeks, every farmer that is able to apply for it will know exactly what that number looks like.
And they kept that promise just ahead of their deadline, announcing those details via a press release sent around 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on New Year's Eve. As part of the package, eligible corn growers will receive $44.36 per acre, soybean growers will receive $30.88 per acre, and wheat growers will receive $39.35 per acre. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall.
These payments will help farm families cover critical operating costs, keep equipment running, secure financing for next season, and provide some certainty during uncertain times.
Duvall says farmers are appreciative, but there is still more work to be done.
They're suffering from several years of operating in the red, and many fruit, vegetable, tree, nut, and nursery growers are facing the same increase in costs and instability in the marketplace, but they are receiving less than 10% of the bridge support.
Of the $12 billion, $11 billion will go to row crop producers, while the remaining billion will go to specialty crop producers. In the initial announcement, Rollins explained why releasing these numbers before the end of 2025 was so important.
As you are going to your lender, as you are working to ensure and understanding what you can plant for next year, you will have that number in hand.
And it seems President Trump has received the message from farmers that they truly want trade, not aid. Answering this question from a reporter recently.
Are you open to tapping into tariff revenue again, should farmers find they need additional relief to get to that level?
Yeah, yeah. If we're going to make the farmers so strong, and I'm not even talking about financially, because they just want to be able to produce what they can produce.
You can find rates for other crops and eligibility details at HoosierAgToday.com. A ban on all new foreign-made drones and components, namely from China, has been put into place recently by the FCC due to concerns over our national security. CJ Miller reports how that could impact the ag industry.
When they say Chinese and foreign drones, they're really talking about DJI because they've got 80-90% of the drone market. And I know in my fleet, the drones I use, I'm a 100% DJI user.
And that's Chad Colby with Colby Ag Tech. He says the impact of farming won't be felt immediately, but it will be felt a couple of years from now.
The challenge is going to really be when you start getting out there in 28, 29, and 30. Because you can still buy the drones that are okay to use in the U.S. The problem is going to be the new drones, not the ones we already have today, not the ones that are already on the market. The next generation and the generation after that. I don't think in 26 you're going to see any kind of change in aerial application or even high resolution imagery. That stuff's pretty much going to be the same. But in the future, you certainly will feel the effects, I believe.
He says he's concerned that by handcuffing that new technology, it may also indirectly handcuff many of the new advances that are being used by drones in farming.
There's a lot of your listeners right now that utilize drones in a different capacity than they did maybe 5 or 10 years ago. You were using them for basic scouting tools. Well, now we're doing application and we're doing serious application. I know several companies that use drones that spray hundreds of thousands of acres. We're talking about fleets of drones. And they're doing it because there's an advantage to using that technology.
Colby adds that an exception should be considered for those new drones if they're being used for agriculture.
I mean, don't kid yourself. We need to have a safe country and we need to have safe airspace. And that's something most people don't know about. But on the same place, if you got a 300-acre field in North Dakota that you want to apply fertilizer to or whatever it is with a sprayer drone, I think you should be able to do that. How is that any different than an airplane? It's just because drones, whether we like to admit it or not, are still in their infancy. What that space looks like 10 years from now will be nothing like it is today.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. You're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today, the Indiana Farm Forecast with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, on the way in just minutes. But right now, let's talk markets. It was a holiday shortened week again. And to tell us all about it, here's Andy Eubank.
Thanks, Eric. We wrapped up the year with a sell-off Wednesday and opened up 2026 with another sell-off, mostly lower markets, although off the lows by the end of trade. We'll have those numbers coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. I checked in with him in the middle of the Friday session. We ring in a new year, but unfortunately, the trend seems to be continuing with lower markets, and we're at 2.5 month lows in soybeans as we go lower in corn, beans, and wheat to start the year. Brian, not a real pretty picture at the moment.
Thanks for having me, Andy. First, I'd like to wish all your listeners a happy new year here as we start off 2026. And markets are weaker. We're seeing the soybean market under pressure from really good growing conditions in South America. It looks like nearly ideal finishing for the growing season in Brazil. And Brazil has actually started just a tiny bit of harvest, but that'll accelerate here later in January and really pick up in February. And at the moment, certainly most are penciling in record soybean production in Brazil. And those exports will begin later here in January and really pick up in February and accelerate quite a bit then in March and April. And I think that the U.S. window of opportunity in the export market is closing as that anticipation builds of those bushels entering the world pipeline. The corn market is hanging in there just above the mid-December lows, looking at some good corn conditions for the Argentina early corn. It's been a bit dry, but not terribly dry. It's not a drought or 100 degrees. But some of that early corn in Argentina is pollinating, and most forecasts for production are still pretty good at the moment. I don't want to put that crop as being made yet. In contrast, for example, most of the Brazilian beans are made now. Regardless, without that South American weather influence, just the sheer volume of our crop last fall has been enough to weigh on both markets, and actually new contract lows here as we wrap up the week in wheat market too.
You mentioned corn is hanging in there. Is that largely due to the corn export picture being quite different than soybeans?
Yes, you're spot on. We continue to see really, really good export sales. The USDA will catch up on their export sales reporting on Monday the 5th, January 5th. So they finally caught up. They will catch up on all the export sales reports, and all the recent reports have confirmed very aggressive sales in that tail end of 2025 calendar year. Continue to see very strong export liftings also as we start this new year here in calendar year 2026.
Brian Basting of Advanced Trading, you can chat with him at 309-664-2314. Now the Friday settlements, March and May corn ended down 2.75. March contract goes to 437.5, May 445.5, and July 452 down 2.5 cents. Near even in beans by the close, January down just a penny, 1029.5, March 1045.75 down a penny and 0.75, and May 1058.5, 2.5 lower. Fractional losses for the wheat market, March 506.5 down a half, May down a quarter at 518.25. A strong live cattle futures market, February ended up $4.40. At 236 even, February lean hogs 84.10 down a dollar. That's the market wrap-up, and there is much more still to come on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag This Week.
Cold air maintains its grip through the weekend, but milder air is coming next week. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast Weekend Edition. Over the weekend here, we are going to be seeing clouds and limited sunshine. Look, it's going to be a stretch to get sunshine to dominate everywhere. I'm hopeful it does. But the first thing we run into here is a little bit of a disturbance trying to move through Michigan over the Saturday time frame. Now, this does not have any direct impact down in Indiana, except for the fact that if there's moisture to the north, the cloud deck that is associated with this thing is likely going to rotate down and encompass a large part of Indiana as well. So I'm going to tell you for your Saturday sunshine that you may see, call it a bonus and move on. Otherwise, just get used to those typical Indiana gray skies that seem to dominate for most of December and January. I do look for slightly better chances at sunshine over the Sunday time frame, but I still won't promise you a whole heck of a lot. But we're also seeing temperatures not quite as chilly on Sunday as our flow across the United States starts to shift more southwest here into the eastern Corn Belt. Now, as we get into next week, the full-on warming happens. A warm front lifting through early on Monday morning triggers a nice round of rain and snow showers over Michigan and the Great Lakes for Monday through Monday midday. I think it's just clouds down here, and we should be milder. And then the warmth continues into Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Tuesday, we may ring a little bit of scattered light rain action out in the north. I'm not concerned about anything south of maybe State Road 14, but to the north there, we may see a few hundreds to a few tenths. A large part of the precipitation comes down again in Michigan. Wednesday, Thursday, completely dry. Overnight Thursday night into Friday, nice area of low pressure lifts out of the Texarkana region straight across Indiana, northern Illinois, and northwestern Ohio. That's going to bring rain with it. I'm going to say right now a quarter to three quarters of an inch over most of the state, maybe an 1 inch if there is some thunderstorm activity that can pop up. It's out fairly quickly by Friday midday. We stay mild through the rest of Friday, but then drop off fairly quickly for the weekend of the 10th and the 11th. Arctic high pressure is back, so we're going to be yo-yoing back to the bottom side of the temperature scale for the weekend. I don't think we see a lot of sunshine, but with this being strong high pressure, there is a chance that we can get better sun than even what we're seeing here near term. Now go into the week of the 12th. After this, the week of the Fort Wayne Farm Show, we're quite chilly to start things off through Wednesday, then see a nice warm-up for Thursday into early Friday. That warm-up likely brings another round of moisture before cold air settles in and takes control closer to the 16th, 17th, and we also see another round of southern moisture trying to head towards us in that return to cold air. So, all sorts of excitement here through mid-January. I'm Ryan Martin.
Show your support for Indiana FFA by attending the Blue and Gold Gala. It's Saturday, February 28th at the Barn at Bay Horse Inn in Greenwood. The evening begins with a cocktail reception and silent auction at 5, dinner at 6, and a live auction to cap off the night. All proceeds benefit Indiana FFA. Join us as we support ag education and career development for Indiana's next generation of ag leaders. For more information and to reserve your seats, visit INFFA.org. Hey, Greg Allen here, kicking off the second half of the first Hoosier Ag This Week weekend show of 2026. Happy New Year. Just a few days in, and I can tell already this is going to be a great year for agriculture. Just this past week, the Environmental Protection Agency proposed a new Waters of the U.S. rule aimed at giving farmers and ranchers clear guidance on what qualifies as a regulated waterway. The proposed rule would revise how federal jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act is defined, a long-standing issue for agriculture where uncertainty over ditches, ponds, and seasonal waterways has raised compliance concerns.
I think farmers need to express that this is a positive rule moving in the right direction and express their support for the rule.
That's Courtney Briggs, Senior Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Briggs says the updated definition could help landowners better understand when federal permits are required and when normal farming practices can continue without added regulation.
It's important that the EPA and the Army Corps hear the voice of agriculture. They can go to regulations.gov and search for WOTUS and provide their comments there, or on our website at fb.org, searching WOTUS, and you can go to our advocacy page, and we have set it up for our members to engage.
The American Farm Bureau Federation urges farmers and ranchers to weigh in before the public comment period closes. The organization says producer input is critical to ensure ensure the rule provides clarity, consistency, and protects both water quality and agricultural operations.
Folks have until January 5th to provide comments, and then the rest of the regulatory process needs to play out. EPA and the Corps need to review all of the comments and provide responses, and then there needs to be another round of interagency review.
For more information, go to fb.org/WOTUS. Having your voice heard is a great way to start off the new year. And speaking of starting off the new year on a good note, for farmers willing to set aside 40 acres in the new year, you can become a Groundbreakers grower for the new Preseon short stature corn from Bayer. Andy Eubank has details.
So we're asking our growers to commit at least 40 acres in their first year of piloting the product so that they can kind of experiment on their farm with, hey, maybe some different densities, how might you take advantage of the in-season access benefits, maybe do some fertility differently.
Preseon Corn Digital Experience Lead, he's Dan Ader. And Ader says many growers are dedicating more acres, up to a couple hundred on their farm. Bayer uses the PAYS acronym to stress the benefits of protection, access, yield, silage value, and sustainability when planting Preseon.
So we start with protection. You know, they're shorter plants, but they've got thicker stalks. And so what that does, it actually gives you protection against green snap and lodging, especially in wind events. We saw a lot of growers benefit from that in this 25 season. And then we get to the access component. You can get your boom sprayer through that field much more easily. And so you can think about, how can I do in-season fertility? So with short corn, you can get in there, do in-season applications, maybe at V6, VT, help boost your yield at that right time. Or if you're seeing disease pressure, insect pressure, you can get into that field more easily yourself as opposed to having to kind of go coordinate a plane to get over your field.
Ader says the more tailored management capabilities with the Preseon system led to 8 bushels more per acre than tall corn on the same farm in 2024. A key element of the system is use of Field View.
We sell Preseon with that digital enablement, so you'll have that Field View Plus account as part of it. What that lets you do is take all of the data layers you've historically generated for that field and that you're generating for your Preseon crop, look at them in a connected way to say, how can I use all the data from my farm to pick the right product for this field, get the right density to maximize based on the historic yield of that field, the soil types, give you a planting script to distribute that seed investment in a variable rate across the field.
Ader says there are new genetics coming in the new year too.
We've got a couple different RMs that are going to be offered, kind of still in that same 100 to 118 range, but some improved genetics there for the product. And then as we look forward, we're really excited about the biotech trait, which should start launching in 2027, and it'll continue scaling from that area. And maybe for your Michigan growers, especially if they're silage growers, we're actually seeing some really great benefits of Preseon for silage. They got a really great pilot in that space this year.
Read more at MichiganAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
Thank you, Andy. You know, 2025 was a tough year for corn and soybean farmers as the grain market saw a lot of volatility. But how are things looking for this new year? C.J. Miller joins us now with a sneak peek.
2026 starting to look a little bit better for us.
And that's Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting. He says the grain markets could be impacted in the new year by what happens with some of the outside markets.
Gold and silver finished with their best years that they've had since 1979. We have seen corn, soybeans, and wheat thrown into baskets when you have the managed money crowd show up. If they start to sell off the precious metals, you do tend to see corn and soybeans back off. To see some of this buying come back into gold and silver would not be a surprise.
He says the downward trading spiral of the U.S. dollar could also impact the markets in 2026.
The U.S. dollar, however, going to finish with the worst year it's had since 2017. To see a little bit of weakness in the dollar to start out the year wouldn't be a surprise either, and that is also beneficial for U.S. commodities, particularly from the export sales side.
Setzer adds that the upcoming corn and soybean harvest in South America will also factor into U.S. grain prices this year.
Brazil producing another very, very large soybean crop. As we start to get into December, though, weather starts turning a little bit more negative for production in Argentina. A lot of weather watchers keeping an eye on the developing La Nina could lead to some significant crop loss, as there are already areas that have went 4 weeks without meaningful precipitation.
Check out the full conversation with Carl Setzer. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
I'm Greg Allen, wishing you all the best for 2026. And don't go too far. CJ Miller is going to walk you through the last segment when we come back.
AgBioScience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
You look at farming, and it breaks. I grew up on a farm, obviously, right? And I see there's not any more farm ground made, right? It goes away every day. I mean, as we're sitting here, there's acres going to something.
Yeah.
Buildings, something. Rural, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we got to be more efficient with our dirt,
yeah.
Especially in the United States. You look at the world, though, and you look at what Brazil and Argentina, what they're capable of, mm-hmm. looking at their footprint of, you know, they can put on production the size of the state of Texas, right?
Right.
That's amazing that they could do that. So, but here in the U.S., yeah, we got what we have. So we have to be more efficient.
Yeah.
With our acres.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. And a final rule has been recently issued by USDA that would update the nation's crop insurance and risk management system with a strong focus on improving access for farmers. Greg Allen has more.
USDA says the changes are designed to make the program easier to use and more responsive to today's producers, including beginning farmers, small and mid-size operations, and those who may have faced barriers to participation in the past. The rule streamlines reporting requirements, clarifies policy language, and expands options that help policyholders better manage risk in an increasingly unpredictable climate. According to Risk Management Agency Administrator Pat Swanson.
In our current regulation, we had it in there that there was three requirements in order for this physical piece of land to be considered and qualified to receive the prevented planting payment that had to be planted, harvested, and insured. And what we were finding was that the insured piece was really difficult to find the answer. And so it was becoming really burdensome for our farmers. So we decided just to remove that word from the rule. So now farmers just have to prove that the land had been planted and harvested once in the last 4 years.
Swanson says modernizing the crop insurance system is critical as producers deal with volatile markets, extreme weather, and rising input costs. By improving access and simplifying processes, USDA believes more producers will be able to protect their operations and plan for the future.
All the dates that are involved in, like, termination dates and cancellation dates and end of insurance dates, we're just removing those from the federal regulations so that they're more nimble, so we can make changes as we see necessary without having to make this into a final rule. And it just makes it more nimble for the program to be able to see, oh, there's an issue here with maybe the termination date, which creates a billing date or a time when a farmer has to pay by.
For more on this story, log on to HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Well, coming up here in about a week and a half, it's the annual Fort Wayne Farm Show.
It's the largest indoor farm show in the area. It's free to get in the show. I can promise you won't be disappointed, that's for sure.
And that's Dan Slowinski, show director of the Fort Wayne Farm Show. The event is set for January 13th, 14th, and 15th at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum.
We actually have 415 companies taking out 1,090 booths. So it's going to be jam-packed full of equipment, dealers, reps from seed companies to insurance companies, tools, tractors, combines, irrigation, you name it, we've got it.
The event also features seminars focusing on topics impacting farms and ag businesses.
They start off with the market outlook. That's always the most attended seminar each year. And then they've got other topics, pesticide applicator programs, farm emergency care, water resources. I know one of them is talking about different USDA programs. Something that they're also doing is if you're looking for a new job, different vendors will have different badges on their booth that will signify that they have got job openings and are looking to bring people on board.
Most of all, Slowinski says the event gives farmers the chance to not only see new equipment up close, but also the chance to chat with several different company representatives one-on-one and all in one place.
That to me was the biggest thing. Yes, it's a one-stop. They say it's a one-stop shop, but I think there's something special when you can look someone in the face, look them eye to eye, shaking hands with the different reps. And then if you've got questions, you can ask them right there on the spot.
And while you're at the Fort Wayne Farm Show this year, you can also show your support for Indiana FFA.
At the Fort Wayne Farm Show, we will be hosting our FFA scholarship auction.
And that's Caitlin Marcheski, state president for Indiana FFA.
And the money will be going to benefit the Indiana FFA State Officer Scholarship Fund. So this is a fund that gives back to the current state officers at state convention so that they can have a scholarship for their year of service going into college. The extra money will go back to the Indiana FFA Foundation to support all things Indiana FFA.
The auction will be at 1 o'clock on both Tuesday, January 13th and Wednesday, January 14th at the Fort Wayne Farm Show. And they'll have a wide range of items up for auction, including tools, gift cards, and so much more. In fact, there's still time for you if you would like to donate items to the auction to support Indiana FFA.
They can go on our website, which is infffa.org. On the homepage, if you scroll down just a little bit, then there will be a couple different banners, and one of those will say contact us, and we'll get those donations worked out with them.
The Indiana FFA state officers and chapter members should be easy to find at the Fort Wayne Farm Show. They'll be in the lobby of the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum as you first walk in, and they'll all be wearing their blue corduroy jackets. Hoosier Ag Today will also be in full force at this year's Fort Wayne Farm Show. You can find us at our booth near the front entrance of the Coliseum, and we'll be sharing that booth with our Fort Wayne radio affiliate, US 93.3. So come on by and say hi, because we're looking forward to seeing you at this year's Fort Wayne Farm Show. Once again, January 13th, 14th, and 15th. And that does it for this week's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download the podcast version. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com. For Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, Greg Allen, and Hoosier Ag Today Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.